The book of Exodus, chapter 16, beginning at verse 13. And so it was that quails came up at evening and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay all around the camp. And when the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a small, round substance, as fine as frost on the ground. So when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "This is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat." Please be seated. In the name of our Lord, who is the true bread who came down from heaven, we need a bit of context for this snippet from a story that we just read. The people of Israel had just come out of Egypt, and right before this in the book of Exodus is the account of the miraculous deliverance at the sea, the parting of the waters which allowed the Israelites to escape from the chariots of Egypt which were coming after them in hot pursuit. And then came the destruction of the Egyptian forces in the waters of the sea. And at the conclusion of that narrative in chapter 14, the biblical text reads, "Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. So the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses." Next comes the description of the celebration of their triumph over the Egyptians. Moses and his sister Miriam led the Israelites in that wonderful celebratory song, which is recorded in Exodus chapter 15. "I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him, my father's God, and I will exalt him." And then we come to Exodus chapter 16, and the mood and atmosphere are changed dramatically. No more talk of fear of the Lord and trust in him and in his servant Moses. No more happy sounds of jubilant songs celebrating victory over enemies. A few weeks into their journey, it began to dawn on the Israelites that their trek through the wilderness to the promised land was not going to be a walk in the park. The environment through which they had to pass was hostile and forbidding, and the course was long. Acquiring the basic necessities of life would be difficult. A month into the journey, and the complaining set in earnest. Moses and his brother Aaron became the targets of the bitterness and frustration of the weary people, and they began to say things like, "We should have stayed in Egypt. It would have been better to die there. At least our cooking pots had meat in them and there was bread on our plates. Moses, you brought us out into this howling wilderness to kill us." And in response to this crisis, the Lord in his mercy said to Moses, "I have heard the complaints of the children of Israel. Speak to them, saying, 'At twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God.'" And so it happened, as our reading describes. That evening, swarms of quail came into the camp, and they had meat to eat just for the taking. And in the morning, the floor of the desert was covered with a mysterious substance. And when the Israelites saw it, they asked one another in their bewilderment, "Manna," which means, "What is it?" And Moses answered their question, "This is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat." And the question which they had asked stuck to this mysterious food as its name, manna, we call it. Next came the instruction for the gathering and consumption of the manna. Each day, they were to gather just what they needed for that particular day. No attempt was to be made to stock up or hoard any of it from day to day. The only exception was on the day before Sabbath, when a two-day supply could be gathered so that no gathering would take place on the Sabbath. And, of course, there were those among the Israelites who immediately tested the rules and incurred the wrath of God. Those who attempted to stock up and hoard it found that it rotted and stunk and became infested with worms. Those who attempted to gather on the Sabbath found that there was nothing to gather on the Sabbath. Chapter 16 concludes, "The children of Israel ate manna for 40 years until they came to the border of Canaan. Bread supplied by the grace and power of God sustained them throughout their long and arduous journey." Now, we are considering this story in this week of the fourth Sunday in Lent because it provides the background for the historic gospel reading, the account of Jesus' miraculous feeding of the multitude in the wilderness. That long sixth chapter of John's gospel, which records that story of the feeding of the 5,000, is filled with both direct references and subtle allusions to Exodus chapter 16. That chapter, John 6, is one long testimony to the fact that this man, Jesus of Nazareth, is the God of the Old Testament, and he is the Messiah, the Christ, who provides redemption for his helpless people. Jesus was preaching both by words and actions. Thousands of people in a desert place. They had nothing to eat but the meager sack lunch brought along by one little boy who happened to have 5 barley loaves and a couple small fish. But the compassion and the power of God provided. Out of scarcity came abundance by the power of God. Now, the point of St. John's account is summarized in these words of Jesus. Jesus said, "The bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. I am the bread of life. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. Your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever." In other words, by word and deed, Jesus proclaimed himself to be Lord and Savior. His gospel is our manna. It sustains us for the long journey. It brings Christ himself to us and everything that he won for us: forgiveness of sins, deliverance from death and all its dimensions, the removal of the curse of the law on all our failures, the breaking of Satan's claims on each of us. This is the bread of God which comes down to us from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This is the manna that gives and sustains life. What was the result of Jesus' proclamation that he is the bread of life? What came of it? Well, St. John shows us that there was a division among his hearers. Some said, "This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?" And they grumbled and were offended, and from that time many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more, John tells us. And then Jesus turned to the 12, and he asked, "Do you also want to go away?" But Peter said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." The Savior's words are spirit and life. By them, the Spirit of God gives the gift of faith. "This is the work of God, that you should believe in the Christ whom he has sent." the Word, the Spirit, and the gift of faith. This is a powerful combination. It overcomes our unbelief and enables us to say in response to the word of the Savior, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God, and blessed are you in that faith and confession." Amen.